Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss, and don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's all streaming now on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Thank you for coming back. Part two is underway. Let's talk about what's going on now. This rap beef, this rap dissing. I mean, it seems like everybody's team coming after Drake. You got K-Dot, you know, J. Cole took his shot. You got Ross. Where you at on the rap beat?
Better leave that man alone.
Drake?
Better leave that Drake alone.
I mean, the light-skinned dude that...
Yeah. Hey, don't sleep on that mix, boys.
Yeah, y'all do y'all thing. Y'all,
he gonna hit you with the ghetto and the suburb shit. both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't mess with Drake, bro. I'm not a hip-hop head, but obviously I listen to hip-hop. But
right.
Yeah, Drake, man. I don't think Meek Mill's ever quite recovered. Remember that, 70 years ago, back to back.
Drake bought it.
Drake,
I ain't. Drake Spanos. That's why everybody.
Facts.
Everybody. That's why everybody teamed up trying to take
him. And everyone wants to work with him. Yeah, he's the guy right now.
Right. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of professional basketball, which makes getting playoff tickets even easier and faster. Prices on Game Time app actually go down closer it gets to tip-off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying basketball tickets. With Game Time Guarantee, you'll always get the best price. And if you find a ticket in the same section, same row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying professional basketball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code SHAYSHAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code SHAYSHAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute ticket, lowest prices guaranteed. Let's talk about your movie career. Get started. Did you always want to do movie? Because it seems like it's a natural transition. You go back and obviously you had Cosby, you had Pryor, you had Murphy. You had a lot of guys in comedy do real well transitioning to the movies. Did you always want to be in movies?
Yeah. Yeah. That was always the goal. I never thought it'd be like TV.
Right.
I thought it'd be movies.
Right.
You do stand up. Those are the dreams, like, when you start doing stand-up, like, if I can get movies and stuff like that. So, that was always the goal,
right.
Getting some movies and stuff.
Hold on. You were almost a part of Django? What were you going to do in Django?
No, I auditioned for Django.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What the hell you to do what?
One of the henchmen. I never said the N-word so much in my life in an audition. And the casting director was a black lady. So, I go in, I'm looking at the sides, and it's N-word, 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 N-word. I'm like, God! And I'm looking at her, I go... Oh, you gotta be kidding me. The casting director was a black lady. I'm like, I apologize afterwards. I go, very sorry about everything I just said. I didn't give it. I don't know what, I didn't get it, so right. I don't know what part I auditioned for, but right. It was one of the dudes that was trying to kill Jamie.
Right. Check this out. Think Like a Man, the franchise. I like, you were cool. You see how level-headed you are? You was down, hey.
What?
Your role that you played in Think Like a Man.
Bennett?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. That was a good.
But that ain't you.
No, that wasn't me. No, that wasn't me. I had to hold back. I was like, I want to, because you know, you want to go back and forth. But it was funny when I got the part. Like, I think I was the first one to like sign on.
Right.
Because I already, Will Packer called, and shouts out to Will. But Will Packer called and he was like, "Yo, I got this movie, man." He goes, "We need a white guy that could hang out with black guys, but not act black, and we want you to bring your own spin to it." And originally, Will was trying to get me to play Jerry Ferrera's part.
Okay.
And then just things happened. The head of screen was like, "Nah, I see Gary Moore as Bennett."
Right.
And it worked out. I thought it all worked out in the end, because now that's the one movie, like, us guys are still cool. Like, if you call them, they're there. If you need something, need to make a social media post or I'm having an event. I never, and I've, you know, I, Michael Ealy said, he goes, you know, acting in movies like summer camp. You have fun while you're there, but then when it's over, you probably never see these people again.
Right.
And obviously people go their separate ways, but the six of us, man, that was like some brother type. Cause you gotta realize, 2011, we filmed the first one.
Right.
2012, it comes out, so we're doing press together. 2013, we're filming the sequel. 2014, we're doing press, hanging out again. That's four straight years, we hanging. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, those guys, yeah, I love all those guys, man. They're great.
The book. Did Steve give too much information away?
I didn't really read it. I was like this. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you pretending like you don't know?
They asked me, did I read it? I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, it was informative. I was lying. I didn't read that book. I just go to the pictures.
You mentioned the guys that you work with, Kevin Hart, obviously. What's K Hart like? Because they vouch for him, that he gives them opportunities. He's always trying to put people in position to succeed. What's your relationship with K Hart?
You know, I met Kevin 98 in New York
when
he was little Kev. And, you know, Kev's cool, man. It's like when you just get him, like we're doing right now, he's the same dude. It's just when we leave here, it gets weird.
Right.
Because the public starts going nuts. Right. And I remember the first time I saw posts going nuts. I go, what are they tripping on? It's just Kev, you know? Mm-hmm. But Kev, like, I've noticed on your show too, I've seen there's been a theme.
Yeah.
Like, Monique was down, Kev looked out. Amanda was down, Kev looked out. I had dinner last night with a gentleman. He was like, yo, Kev took care of me. Not took care of me, but gave me a job when nobody else would give me a job.
Right.
And I was like, that's three people.
Mm-hmm.
When my divorce happened, Kev reached out and he goes, you know, you need, if you need any legal advice, need help financially, because I know this stuff can get expensive. He goes, call me. And I'm like, I'm a grown man. I ain't gonna go to some other grown man for help. I'll work it out. But then, and then we shipped him with the $44,000. I did call him back.
Yeah, call him back. Hey, Kev.
You got a Jumanji.
The offer feel good?
You got a Jumanji residual check hanging around or something. Nah. But he called for help. And Kev's just solid, man. So that when people, the hate come towards him, I think it's just because he's like, quote unquote, top of the food chain.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's funny too, because like when you had Kat on, I was like, Kat's very generous too to people. Kat did one of the coolest things anybody ever did for me in my career. Just in the moment, we were in Austin, Texas together. And I've told this story on other platforms and stuff, but it was right when he popped, like 2006 around then, right? And I just remember we had a show like 6 months prior at a college, and we was like in a ballroom and like 100 kids showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I get a contract. We're at the Frank Irwin Center in Austin, Texas. And that's the basketball arena.
Right.
And I was like, why do they have me and Kat at the basketball arena? I think we're like more of a theater thing, right? Man, I showed up. There were so many goddamn people. And I go, oh, cause I remember so Kat, I go, when this happened?
Right.
It's only been 6 months. And then the show's over, right? We go back. The promoter got us two different limos, and my limo's in front of Kat's, and Kat's limo's behind me. I get back to the hotel for Kat, and I'm trying to go out for a little bit. So I'm trying to tell the limo driver, I was like, hey, I was like, look, I need a limo for a couple more hours. Can I get it? He goes, yeah, it's $300. Try to give him cash. He wouldn't take it. He goes, oh, I need a credit card. I said, it's cash. Just take it. He goes, company policy, man. Now keep in mind, I'm married. I don't want this charge on credit card. So I'm like, I can't put this on my credit card. And then I got to answer for going out.
Mm-hmm.
So Kat pulls up. As I'm having this discussion with my driver, Kat pulls up and just walks up. He goes, hey, what's going on, Gary? I was like, nothing. I said, the driver wants $300. He won't take cash. I go, he wants a credit card. And I'm telling Kat, I don't want this thing on my credit card. My wife will see it. I got to discuss this stuff, right? Kat goes, hold on. Takes my driver around the back of his limo, right? I don't know what they talked about. I don't know how much money Kev gave that dude.
But this was the whole conversation we came back. He goes, he's yours for the evening, Gary. Enjoy your night. Oh, yes, they do accept cash. And walked away. I don't know how much Cat gave that driver. When I say he pulled in the club, I got out. I was on the dance floor. That driver, I was like, yo. Then he takes me back. I get up the next morning. He's still standing there. Wait, mom. I said, how much money can I give this dude? He goes, yeah, Mr. Williams said take you to the airport. I was like, wow. To this day, I don't know how much money Cat gave that dude.
I'm looking at the cast. Gabrielle Union, Chris Brown was also in the cast. Megan Good, Taraji. Man, you had an outstanding cast. What was it like working with all those personalities and then everybody blowing up?
Jerry Ferrer said it best. When we went to the table read and everybody was there before we knew what it was, mm-hmm. Kev had all the funny shit, right? Mm-hmm. And Jerry said it best. He goes, it was set up for Kevin to hit a home run. We just didn't know how far he was going to hit it.
Right.
That's still going. Yeah. That ball's still going. Sure. That was some Bugs Bunny type shit. But everybody was very, like, inclusive. Like, it's like, yo, I think this would be funny. Try it. Do it. There was no egos. There wasn't, like, somebody was stealing their shine, everything. It was the most, like, I mean, you just look forward to going to work.
Right.
Everybody was cool. And then, of course, your boy's like, hey, man, who's Gab like? What you look like up close? What Megan like up close? It's weird. When you work with them, you don't look at them like that.
You look at them like that.
I'll be looking. I'm like, why is everybody tripping? Like, I mean, she cool, but you looking, I'm like a cousin.
Right.
You know what I mean? To this day, I feel like, why are people like tripping over Megan?
Right.
That's just Megan.
Right.
Everybody was cool. Especially us guys, man, because we know it was very separate. We didn't see the girls a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially on the second one. But we'd see them every now and then, but it was more the six guys working together all the time. Like, man, this is just solid.
You were in Love Chronicles with Terrence Howard.
Holy cow, where'd you pull that one out of?
Yeah, and he's suing CAA. What? I mean, obviously, you've been in this business a long time, and you know how agencies work. I'm trying to figure out, I mean, he's suing them over his Empire salary. Because I guess he's saying that he was only paid X amount of dollars. I mean, but it's kind of hard. What did you sign the contract for?
Yeah, that stuff.
You know, T. Cruz said, you can't nod yes and mean no.
I saw that episode, too. Yep.
T. Cruz was good.
It was good. Very motivational.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. So have you had any bad experiences with management agencies or you do your
job? Yeah. I mean, they're always sticking and moving. You always feel like you should be working more.
Yeah.
You always feel like you should have more. But as far as like suing an agency or a studio for like wages, nah, because that's like, you know, you negotiate. And it's like, you want it or not. Now, in the middle of my divorce, I got sued by some dude. I think I want to really shout him out because I want to make sure I hate opportunists. His name was Mike Carlini.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? What is it? Okay. Joe Carlini. Yeah. I'll make sure I get that name right. This piece of shit, Joe Carlini, this dude, and I've never met this dude in my life. I don't know who he is, and I really hope he sees this. He said that I stole the movie idea, What Men Want, the movie that Taraji was in, that Will Packer produced, that Paramount was behind. He gave the idea to me, I gave it to Will, and then they made the movie, and he didn't get anything from it. And I go, keep in mind, I wasn't in that movie. I auditioned for that movie and didn't get the part.
Right.
And I go, I got nothing to do with that movie. You figure if I had the idea, I'm not a producer on it. I got nothing to do with it. We come to find out back in 2015, he somehow got my email. He emailed me something and we had to get like a person to go through all your emails and check it.
Mm-hmm.
It showed that I opened the email, but I didn't send it to anybody. I don't even remember opening it. That's how he sued me. And I had to fight this. It cost me $110,000 for nothing.
They couldn't find
it. Okay, thanks, Lisa.
There was no evidence of it.
You know what?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know a goddamn thing. You know what? I don't know his name. I probably got the wrong movie. This is what you go through in a divorce. You forget.
Right. Or at least try to.
Yeah. Now, this dude, Joe Carlini, they went through my email, and I guess they found out I didn't. They couldn't find the email. But just the fact that I had to pay these lawyers to fight this because he kept like appealing it.
Right.
And I'm the one that was out. Like, I'm sure Paramount fought it with their lawyers. And I don't.
They got a lot more money to fight with. A
lot more money. But I'm the one like, now we got to go to Paramount and beg like, hey, right. Can you guys give me a couple dollars? Because that's the crazy part about this business.
Right.
In fact, you can just get accused of something. And you're like, you got to fight it in court.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this was all in the middle of divorce. So I'm getting divorce attorney bills. I'm getting my attorneys fighting this frivolous lawsuit of a movie. The thing about it, when I was in the movie, maybe you could have said something. I wasn't even in it.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. And that movie's a remake. It was a Mel Gibson movie.
Right. Meet the Blacks. Mike Epps, Lil Duval, Michael Blackson, Snoop Dogg, Charlie Murphy, Mike Tyson, Paul Mooney. What's it like being on a set with a lot of comedians?
That's the best. That's the dream set right there. That set was so much fun. Shouts out to Deion Taylor, but we were outside of Sacramento on some farm. I'm talking like an hour and a half outside of Sacramento. And we were staying at a Best Western Inn because that was the only hotel near it. And it wasn't a great hotel either. But I think it was my first time really working with Epps that. And Duval.
Right.
And comedians the best because they just, especially Deion, to direct comedians like that, it's just like, just let them go. We'll get one off the script, but let us go. Mm-hmm. And then usually we'll come up with something funnier than what's on the script.
Which one's been written.
Yeah. And he just let us. At one point, I remember Deion, I was just rambling. Deion goes, hey, we just need one that's on the page. Right. I didn't realize we're on like take six. I'm going, what do I do this? I'm going to do this.
Right. Obviously, you mentioned earlier Cat. Cat was on here and I guess we still trying to recover.
Recover? What are you talking about? I'm looking at your watch, looking at your teeth, your glasses, your haircut.
Yeah, thank you, Cat.
Everybody got a raise. I think your barber got a raise.
Well, that's what Cat told me. Cat said, when you win an award, you win awards, I get a prize.
Would you get him?
Huh?
Would you get him?
I'm going to let him tell you. No, I haven't gotten him anything. He doesn't want anything. When you hear,
really?
Did you know that this was like kind of behind the scenes that comedians? I had no idea. Probably like people telling me they mad at me for what Cat said on my platform. I'm like, guys, do you think I know what goes on in the comedic world?
Yeah.
I didn't know that there were beefs. Like, did you know?
There's always beefs. There's always beefs.
Did you know it was like to this extent?
Here's the thing. Cat is so damn smart, and his delivery is so good. It's very engaging.
He know how to tell a story,
dude. Man, he's a great storyteller. Yeah, he's a great narrator.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all know those beefs. That's green room talk.
Right.
You know, he just aired it
publicly.
And, you know, because we all know who ain't funny. We all know who's a hack.
Right.
Where there's rumors, people steal jokes.
Right.
I don't ever go the route like somebody just stole a joke because I'm always like, we think alike, man.
Right.
We think alike a lot.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes you don't even realize it. Like, I've seen people like start to act like people, their mannerisms, their delivery and stuff like that. So, I mean, sometimes people do steal. I ain't gonna say it doesn't happen, but I'm not just gonna out and out accuse you.
But, because the thing was that I had said on, and I asked him, I said, Cat once accused you of stealing a joke. And he said, well, the timeline doesn't add up. Well, I didn't even have to bring it up because when Cat came on, Cat brought it up. And he said, how the timeline doesn't add up? He said, the only difference is that you took my car and turned it into a spaceship.
Yeah.
So I think he was upset. And he says, well, I gave you a grace. I gave you a pass. You said you were sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then to come out here and say that didn't happen. But you're saying that if somebody stole your joke, you ain't gonna front him. You ain't gonna put it out there on Front Street.
I'm a little more passive aggressive, unless it's my dad or stepdad. I'm a little more passive. I don't. There's some instances where they just took it, and you know, the only time I know somebody took my was there was a show on Showtime called Chocolate Sundays, and they did this whole bit of how a white guy can get away with saying the N word, and what he does, he'd be like, Shannon, you my, and there'd be a black guy right next to him, and he'll say the N word for him, right?
Yes.
I saw that sketch and I go, wait a minute, that's my joke. I closed with that on my special in 2011 called True Story. Mm-hmm. How that joke came about was I was at the improv on a Monday night. D-Ray Davis was there. He's got it on his little handheld camera. He sent it to me. I'm talking like 2007 this happened when the joke came about. I got a heckler. We were going back and forth. I said, well, why don't you come on stage? Because the heckler was like, you got the mic. You always going to win. I said like this. I said, man, if I was black, I would call you the N-word right now, but I'm not allowed. And then the crowd's laughing, right? And, you know, the crowd, say it. I said, I ain't going to say it. And I was like, D-Ray, can you say it for me? D-Ray comes on stage. I start going into dude, and D-Ray starts saying the word for me.
Right.
That's where the joke came about.
Right.
So now I'm watching this show, Chalk of Sundays, and I'm seeing they got these two black dudes and a white dude, and they're basically turned my joke into a sketch.
Right.
And I called the EP, and I was like, yo, I was like, Poogie works with Kevin. I said, Poogie. I go, what a name, right? Poogie? I said, Poogie, who wrote the joke? So I can know where to direct my
anger
at. He said, yeah, I don't know. Gee, we got a think tank. And comedians just get in a room and we start throwing ideas around. I said, well, find out who came up with that premise. I said, you know, that's my bid. It's on Showtime. It's on right now.
Right.
And nobody could give me an answer. So somebody got in that think tank and was like, hey, you know what a good idea is?
Right.
But we got everything on video.
Right.
You know?
How often do you watch other comedians? Do you watch? You don't watch anybody currently. You don't like, man, that dude, he nice with it.
You watch like clips,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to watch comedians for the reason Kat said. I don't want to ever think my jokes ain't mine. I don't want to watch somebody and be like, that was a good bit, or I should have thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's two things. Like, I get frustrated. One, I'll get frustrated because why do they have a special and I don't?
Right.
All comedians think we deserve the special, right? And then I don't want to ever think that I don't want to psych myself out. I've seen comics do that.
Right.
They'll stop doing a bit because somebody's doing a bit on the same topic better than they are.
Right.
So I was like, I'll obviously watch clips now with TikTok mm-hmm. and Instagram. You might catch something. To sit down and watch an hour, mm-hmm. I was like, I just can't. I got an ADHD, self-diagnosed. And I do it so much. Right. The last thing I'm gonna do is go to a comedy club or another comedy show and I'm not on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't.
The weigh-ins, where are they? Because I don't think they get nearly enough credit. Mm-mm. Because what they did with Living Color,
man, that still holds up.
That's day. I mean, and look who was birthed out of that.
Yeah,
Jim Carrey and Jamie Foxx and David Allen Greer and Tommy Davidson. Obviously, the Wayans brothers. I mean, why don't they? Will we ever see another In Living Color again? Could that happen today?
Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. That's greatness. Don't touch it. Stay as far away as possible.
But you know, anytime you have success doing something, somebody want to reboot it. Man, we see the animation of Good Time. You saw that?
Yeah. They're doing right. I'm like, oh my God. No, leave it alone. Right. Let it ride.
So what is your relationship? Do you have any comedians that you know? Because, you know, Kat, like, he has his group that he stays away from. Obviously, Monique has hers, who she stays away from. And are there anybody that you like, you don't have to say no name, but do you like, I'm better in my little box and I'm going to let you play in your little box?
No, I'm cool with everybody.
No, you're not.
I'm not. Monique probably would say different.
You don't run with, you don't run. I thought Monique was really engaging. I like Monique.
Here's the thing about Monique, though. Like, you're allowed to be made fun of.
Right.
We're comedians. Right. Somebody's going to see this interview, they're going to make fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's like, I snapped a little bit years ago because not over the Tyler Perry or the Oprah stuff, because she basically compared Will Packer, who's a friend and a guy that employed me and a guy that helped take my career to another level.
Right.
She compared him to Harvey Weinstein.
Huh?
Yeah. She goes, just like these girls got to be quiet and stuff like this. It was like his name was in the same sentence as Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, and nobody said anything. I go, I'm going to stand up for my boy real quick. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I literally was in the carpool line to pick up my daughter at school, and I was kind of just sitting there, so I just did a video.
Right.
I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But think about it. I never called out her name. I never, like, said she was wrong about other stuff. Mm-hmm. I was just like, in that instance, when she...
Just that situation,
when she
comparison.
Said, Will Packer, Harvey Weinstein, I was like, that's not cool. You know what I mean? Because, honestly, he gave her a part in a movie when people really wasn't messing with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know... Whatever happened after that, I don't know. I don't know about that fire on the set that nobody got hurt.
Right.
I don't know about that. But when she, I did a on my podcast, I talked about her like her and her husband will do their little Instagram lives. And I go, man, they're really good. at saying they love you and then cut your throat the next thing. They go, yeah, we love you, man. We do know you got an abortion in Texas, and that's illegal. So the cops are on their way, but we love you, brother. So when they get there, you're going to have to get bail money. And I don't know how you're going to get that because we got your bank accounts frozen, but we love you. Clearly, I'm making fun of them,
right.
But I'm just having, but that's what we do.
Right.
So, you know, I heard them go on their podcast afterwards after I said something like that, and they was like snapping. I remember her husband was like, and our brother Gary Owen, you're invited. You're a guest in the black community. And I'm thinking, I got more black kids than you. I just got two more.
Right.
I got a squad now.
Right.
So, and then they go, you know, he said, you know, and you brought up, we say people got abortions, and Monique was took off her glasses. What? What? I go, it was a joke. Right. I was making fun of you, which we're allowed to do. You know, we can't take everything so serious and literal. I got nothing against it.
Right.
I have nothing against it. But you are allowed to make fun of, just like Amanda Seals comes on here, self-diagnosed herself with autism. So of course I'm gonna bring it up. That's what we do. I didn't call her out her name.
Right.
Nothing. I didn't say she was wrong.
But you know, I'm gonna get it
yeah.
Because I ain't protecting my black queen.
That's
so what I'm gonna, you said what you said, and because I didn't push back.
Yeah.
Nah, you done lumped me into some stuff.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing to do with
that. That's
this.
All I wanted out of this interview. That's the only thing I wanted was for you to get to step down from the black women. That was my goal. You did not defend your queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Brother.
You know that's coming. Cass spoke very highly of you as one of these guys that haven't sold out to the industry.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think you said there was a situation because Cass said there's sometimes that, you know, men do things behind the scenes that don't have anything to do with their acting.
And
right.
Yeah.
You mentioned that somebody, you kind of like, I think, I'm not sure, I don't want to go.
I knew the guy was
looking for a new show to dive into. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, set in feudal Japan. Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's Angi.com, or download the app today. Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees, all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees, a much bigger range than most grills. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time, so you can make enough for everyone, then clean up quick with the Pull and Clean grease and ash management system at the front of the grill. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Hitting on me. Here's the thing. There was no lines crossed. Nobody was touched.
Right.
I wasn't promised a job. I still got the job.
Right.
But the dude hit on me. Right. You know when somebody's hitting on you, right? But it wasn't like a Terry Crews situation.
Right.
Nobody touched me. Nobody said, you got to do this or you won't get the job.
Right.
Dude clearly inquired, you know, am I interested? And I was like, so there's no reason for me to throw this dude under the bus.
Right.
You are allowed to hit on people.
Right.
Right?
No, not anymore.
I'm mad at myself.
No, you can't.
Because what kind of vibe was I giving? That he thought it was okay to think it was okay. Right? So I was like, that's why I was like, people like, you got to say you're part of the problem. You know, this guy's a predator. I go, this dude is not a predator. It was a guy that hit on me, and it's not my place to out him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm never going to say who it was. It wasn't Jackie Chan.
Right.
Okay? That's all I'm giving you. Right. It wasn't, or Chris Tucker. So that's all you get.
What are your thoughts on actors in dresses? Would you wear a dress for a movie role?
The check was right. Do it all. Bra, panties. I'm kidding. I shave my legs. Yeah, but you know, I don't know. Yeah, if it's funny.
But Gear, here's the thing, and I think you know this. White men, Dustin Hoffman did it. Robin Williams did it. Miss Doubtfire, Tootsie, is looked at differently when a black man puts that dress on. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody said anything because Flip Wilson was the first guy that I remember doing it when he was Geraldine. He had his show on television. But since then, you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it, but I know he dresses a woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
But since, and the guy that catches the most criticism, obviously, is Tyler Perry because mm-hmm. the Madea role that he plays.
Do you think Tyler Perry regrets putting on that dress? I don't.
Hell no.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying.
A billion?
He put the titties on?
Yeah.
The belly?
Yeah.
I think at one point he had a camel toe.
Yeah.
That's he going too far now. Is that camel toe Tyler? Is that camel toe Tyler?
Do you want to be in more movies, or are you good with where you're doing stand-up? Because it seems like you're every week. So how many days a year do you actually?
I could work every weekend if I wanted to, because you're looking at the tours, the theater dates, the comedy club dates. Every now and then you get a corporate gig, but I mean I could work every weekend if I wanted to, and I work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm in a better spot financially and everything, so I don't have to work every weekend. So I am, for the first time probably in my career, taking some weekends off just to enjoy everything. So
enjoy some of the money that you're making.
Yeah, yeah. But the road life isn't bad. We're still staying in nice hotels.
Right.
We go to work for a couple hours. The hardest part about our job is the travel.
Right.
Once you get to a certain level. So, yeah, the goal is to be in more movies. You know what I mean? And I'm not really tripping off TV anymore. Like, this to me is, for my audience where I'm at, is way bigger than the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
Way bigger than any late night talk show or daytime talk show.
Right.
So when you guys called and said you want to do it, I was like, how much? And you guys was like, we don't pay. I was like, well, I want bottled water. So I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Real Husbands of Hollywood.
I only did one episode.
Why?
Because my ex wasn't famous. That's what because I asked them. I said, yo, I asked Chris Spencer. I said, yo, how come you guys never asked me to do that when it came out? And I wasn't like asking like, how could you not use me? I literally was asking like, did my name come up? He goes, yeah, but it was Real Husbands of Hollywood and everybody's wife outside of Kevin, obviously. But they was like, their wife was in the business or was somewhat famous. They goes, yours wasn't. And I go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I did an episode. It was fun.
Fun?
Yeah, it was fun.
See, it seems to me like, would you like to be in movies in which other comedians, because it seems like you have the best time when you like people like, you know, y'all bouncing ideas, y'all just having a good time.
Yeah.
Like you said that, What was it called?
Meet the Blacks?
Meet the Blacks.
Yeah.
You really, now, not to say that you didn't love Think Like a Man, because obviously that was an all-star cast.
Yeah.
But what's your ideal movie situation?
Oh, man.
What's the role? What's the role?
I know it. I know it. Remake the Jerk. Remake the Jerk. That'd be the dream role for me. The Steve Martin movie?
Yes.
He's raised by a black family?
Yeah.
Got on his own. You could rework it and remake it to update it. Mm-hmm. That, to me, from my audience and how I live my life.
Right.
I'm just thinking like the ad-libs and what I could bring to that character.
Right.
Would be the dream role. And second would be, the only white guy in Wakanda. Like, literally, like, oh my God. Like, it's too, you know.
The FBI agent was there. They took the FBI. Remember,
I'm talking about been there. Like, there's a bunch of light-skinned Wakandians. Where'd he come from? And here I come out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the white tiger.
Why don't you pitch the idea?
What, the white guy Wakanda?
No, the Jerk, the remake.
Yeah, we just did it. You didn't even realize we did it, did you? No, watch. This better be a clip.
Really?
Yeah. That better be one of your clips.
Nah, hell nah. You ain't doing it.
Come on, Shannon.
You bulljabbing.
What? A white guy just got drafted as a cornerback in the NFL. Times are changing.
But you know it's once every 20 years because Jason Sehorn was before that. Remember him with the Giants?
Yeah, 94. Tore his ACL in the preseason game, returning kickoff.
Yeah.
I know football.
Yeah. And then it was Scott Case before him.
Yeah, I remember Scott for the Falcons.
Yeah.
I remember Scott Case.
Y'all got three of the last 35.
That's what, okay. Well, how many, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many kickers you got? Yeah, you got no extra points. If it's just all black guys, it's 6-6. It's 12-12.
The Illuminati. I've heard a lot of people talk about the Illuminati. What is the Illuminati?
I don't know.
Does it exist?
I don't know.
You in Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't seen it.
You ain't ever gone to no secret meeting?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
What happened?
Something ain't lining up.
What ain't lining up?
Something ain't lining
up. If I get the Jerk, there's an Illuminati. I don't know.
What about all these Hollywood parties that people be talking about? Oh, you in Hollywood, you know about these parties. I was like, ain't nobody invited me nowhere.
No, I mean, when I first got to LA, mm-hmm. I saw some wild stuff I would take to the grave.
Right.
Like parties and stuff. But
you was there. Active participant.
I was active participant. I saw shit. Oh. Not, and I'm not talking about gay shit either.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like heterosexual shit.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
Wild shit though. I was like,
You wasn't no participant?
Mm-mm.
Well, it wasn't no fun. What you watch, yo?
Fuck, I'm not saying I didn't take a girl back to my place.
Yeah, but I said you're a participant.
But I didn't do it in front of people. At the party.
You chicken.
Huh?
You chicken. You ain't living.
Mm-mm. Anybody trying to see this glow in the dark going up and down? Like, this is the full moon, baby.
Okay, let me ask you. What are gatekeepers? Are there such a thing?
Yeah, definitely is, but I think we're getting away from it. I think now you can take control of your own career. You don't need the machine to get behind you.
Right.
Between YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, we're in a great age.
Right.
I think the gatekeepers are kind of leaving. But there was for a long time.
Really?
I was talking to my manager, and she was telling me, like, when she started, she was working for a big-time producer. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I used to have to deliver scripts to his house. Mm-hmm. And she goes, and he would have to read all of them. Then he makes a decision. Which ones are we going to do? To me, that's a gatekeeper.
Okay.
I'm like, now, I saw your Country Wayne on here.
Yes.
He did his own movie independently. Mm-hmm. And you don't know when lightning is going to strike on him.
Correct.
Let me tell you, there's going to be a movie. There's going to be a movie on Tubi. There's going to be a movie on YouTube. All that shit where everybody's going to just start flocking to it. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen eventually.
Right.
But it's like, damn, they did that shit for $30,000 something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. It ain't going to be the Jerk.
Right.
That's big budget. Let's coupon the Jerk with Black Panther 3. Hell yeah, we just did that.
No, okay.
Come on.
Do you go out with Wendy Williams?
Okay. Jesus, your crack team is unbelievable, bro. Next thing you go, are you circumcised? Like, you're circumcised.
Let me go through the card right quick. Let me see.
No. Wendy, here's what happened. Right when the divorce happened, I went on her talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me out on a date on the talk show. So afterwards, she called me off the air and she goes, Gary, we're just going. She goes, I know it came off like that on the TV show. And she was very candid, like, I am interested. But she was like, look, it's just dinner. It's public. There'll be other people there. Why wouldn't I meet her for dinner in a public place? Because however you feel about Wendy, she's a mogul, and she rolled the dice on herself. She had making, I think, 7 figures on a radio show.
Right.
Said, nah, I'm going to bet on myself, and got her talk show. To me, I'm like, why wouldn't I sit down and have dinner with somebody just to talk?
Right.
And that's all we did.
Right.
I Ubered to the restaurant. I got there. We talked. I Ubered back to my hotel. You know,
what
that was it.
What time did you get back to the hotel?
As soon as dinner was over. I didn't sleep with her.
What time did she leave?
I don't know. 11:30? You just kidding. No, we did not mess around, though. Yeah, yeah. She got a tattoo right here, though. Just kidding.
I know.
Yeah. I was like this. Why you got Mickey Mouse on your only butt cheek? No, I'm just kidding.
Obviously, the movie Think Like a Man was written by Steve Harvey. I read that you didn't have the greatest relationship with Steve.
See, that's the headlines talking. I've always been cool with Steve. What happened with that whole situation, when he moved his talk show from Chicago to L.A., I went on a show as a guest.
Okay.
He pulled me aside and was like, he's telling me, like, I'm about to move this show to L.A. We're going to make it a nighttime feel, but a daytime talk show, but I want to bring you on as, like, a co-host. So I'm thinking, like, Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon type shit. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Of course. So I'm excited. I go back on the show again for when I was still in Chicago, like a couple months later. He goes, hey, they call you yet about the deal? I said, no, nobody's called me. He goes, really? Next day, I got a phone call from a producer. Steve told me to call you. And it was very apparent. That's why I said this isn't on Steve. That producer was, I don't think he knew who I was. Mm-hmm. I think he was looking at him like, this is a favor. Like, I don't have anything going on in my life.
Right.
I could tell by the tone of conversation. Steve told me to call you, and it was very dry.
Right.
I fly to L.A., meet with the dude for lunch, and then I could tell, I got all these ideas, right? He just kept shooting them down. He goes, yeah, we got somebody for that. We're not worried about that. Yeah. I was like, man.
What the hell you got
there? So I take the job, right?
Okay.
We don't negotiate my contract, so I came in on a temporary basis, and I said, I'll do the first 2 weeks, show you what I can do. And if you like me, then we'll get a deal struck.
Right.
If you don't, no love lost.
Right.
So my first day, I'm in this beautiful dressing room. And I was like, dang, they're taking care of me. And I'm getting SAG minimum. Right. I'm just getting minimum wage for this. But I know what the bigger picture is.
Right.
So I'm like, dang, that's nice. Right? I'm there about 30 minutes. They go, yeah, Gary, you got to leave. I was like, what? Well, Chelsea Handler was the first guest. He was shooting on her old stage.
Right.
So that used to be her dressing room. So I was in her old dressing room. So, of course, she's coming. They're going to put her back in her old dressing room.
Right.
So I thought, that's fine, just this episode. I'm walking around. This dude put me in, like, a broke-down closet with no mirror, no bathroom. And I'm going, and I'm standing outside, and he's like, yeah, this is where you're going to stay. And they basically said, this is where you're going to be for the rest of the week. And I was like, oh. And he goes, he started walking towards the bathroom. He goes, yeah, and the bathroom's down here. He goes, Gary, what are you doing? I was like, I'm never going to go use a public bathroom. The only two people here every day is me and Steve.
Right.
I said, find me a dressing room. And he was just like, they wasn't trying to help.
Right.
So I'm sitting here like, oh my God. I was like, they're trying to put me in a closet. And I'm standing on my ground.
They tried to make you quit.
Well, black women to the rescue, the people you don't defend. This is a white dude walking me around. One of them black women stepped up. She knew who I was.
Right.
She said, nah, Gary, come back here. She got me in a little, it wasn't big, little dress room, had my own bathroom, had a couch, tiny TV. I don't need much. So I was like, all right, I'm good. I do the show for 2 weeks, but we're recording on Monday and Friday. I think it was 3 or 4 days a week. So I can't go on the road. So I'm losing stand-up money.
Right.
But I know the bigger picture.
Right.
They never have me on stage with them. I'm always behind the stage. They built like this telephone looking booth thing.
Right.
So you heard my voice, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Harvey, today's guest and stuff like that. Right. But you never see me. So if we did 10 episodes, you probably saw me two of the episodes where I actually did a sketch or something. So I was just like, I literally would come out, say, give it up for Steve Harvey. And then he'd walk on stage. And I go back to my dressing room. Next episode, give it up for Steve Harvey, walk back. So after 2 weeks, I was like, yo, my agency and my manager were like, yo, we're ready to negotiate. And they go, yeah, we want it for 2 more weeks. I go, I can't do another 2 weeks. You've known about this for 6 months. Right. I can't give up 2 more. And then you don't hire me or don't give me the money I want. So I just politely said no.
Right.
where people went at Steve was when I told the dressing room story.
Right.
Now, I'm in a weird spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with Steve. I'm not going to go to him where he's got all this pressure of his own TV show and be like, I ain't happy with the dressing room. So I don't know what to do. And I don't want, the only time I'm really seeing him is right before he goes on stage where I'm announcing his name.
Right.
So I can't be like, hey, what's up, man? I know you got Jay Leno going on, but real quick, my dressing room? I can't do that. Right. So, yeah, it's not, I don't know if it's on Steve.
Right.
Or not on Steve. You can take it any way you want.
Right.
But it's not an attack on him.
Right.
It was just, they tried to put me in the shit dress room, and then I wasn't. And then in the middle of it, one of the days off, I did Hip Hop Squares.
Right.
And I made like three times the money on Hip Hop Squares than I did on Steve. And I go, wait a minute. I'm working for a week, and I'm making more doing Hip Hop Squares for one day. I was like, this ain't working out.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say it's on Steve. You know, I would say it's on Lori.
Right.
It was her fault.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, you're not going to defend her? You're not going to defend her? You're not going to defend Lori Harvey? Another black woman you don't defend.
What's an award in Ohio? Cat Williams, Steve Harvey, Arsenio Hall, Chappelle now lives there. What is it about? What is it about Ohio?
The women, their head game's crazy. So, yo, top. If you do states, like, they're definitely top five. The women in Ohio. That's what it is. And it brings the creative juices.
That's what it is.
I don't know, man. Like, and Dave, like, I've heard, like, Dave is D.C. and Ohio.
Yeah.
I think he grew up in both. I don't know the whole story.
Yeah. But he mainly associated because D.C., they got him too. D.C., Wanda Sykes, Earthquake, Chappelle.
You ever notice Wanda Sykes? Like, she's a lesbian now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched one of her specials back in the day, and she
that's
was talking.
That's my girl, be careful.
No, I'm just, it's a joke. You're allowed to talk about people. Yeah. And she said, she was talking about, it was a clip I saw, and she's talking about good. And I was like, she had a writer. She didn't write that joke.
You know that joke? There you go. She might, early on.
She experimented. Like me with the white girl, 96. You're right, I take it back.
You only been with one white girl your whole life.
Yeah. Look at you. Look at you trying to switch this up.
Hey, I'm not.
You don't defend black women, so you're going to try to turn them on me. Oh, my God. I got a hand job, okay? I got a hand job from one.
No, right? No. We already know that story. Do you remember what it was like when you went on stage for the very first time?
Yeah. Comedy Store, La Jolla, California. I was 20 years old. I go up, and I'm thinking I'm about to be discovered. I've never been on stage. This is what I thought. I'm in the Navy, and I didn't know you could start stand up whatever city you live in. Right. I thought you had to start in L.A.
Right.
And I thought the whole state of California was L.A. because I'm looking at David Lee Roth, wish y'all could be California girls. Yep. I didn't know there was a Fresno, a Bakersfield, a Eureka.
Right.
You know, I thought the whole state was L.A. So first 2 years I'm in the Navy, I'm stationed in Washington, D.C. And I used to go, if I heard a concert was in town or I would find out where Comedy Nights was, I would go. I was only 17, 18 years old. I would sit outside and listen. I would just listen. And then I could hear comedians, right? Or the big shows would come, and I'd stand outside the theater and just listen. I didn't have any money to really go, and I wasn't old enough to get in. But I thought, I just got to get to L.A. I got to get to L.A. So I get, first thing I get stationed in California, I take it. So I come out here. First day, I'm in the phone book. I'm, like, looking up comedy clubs. I call this place called the Comic Castle. Called a dude up. I say, you got open mic? He goes, who's that? I go, no, you got open mic. Here, let me check. And he put me on hold. I go, fuck it. Who is that? Let me check. I called a comic book store. I thought I called a comedy club. He's looking for a superhero on the open mic, right? Pause. So I'm like, I was like, what are you talking about? You can't find him. He goes, man, what are you looking for? I go, this is a comedy club? He goes, nah, it's a comic book store. I go, now we're having a full conversation. I go, oh, man, I just moved here. I'm a comedian. I'm trying to find a comedy club. And then he goes, oh, so now he gets on the phone book on his end. He gives me the number to the Comedy Store. This mythical voice right. From the Comic Castle. And so I call the Comedy Store. Call up open mic Sunday night. I call up there. I get on. The first Sunday I called, I got on. They said, yeah, you're on the shows at like 10 o'clock at night, open mic. I go there. I got dressed. I'm thinking, I'm brushing my teeth extra hard. I'm like, I'm about to be delirious.
Right.
It's about to be Eddie Murphy, right. You know? I get here, I was like, oh! It's like 10 people in the audience, nobody's really paying attention, but there's like 20 comics in the back,
right.
All open micers. I'm like one of the last guys up. I just remember, I'm on stage, I'm nervous. I don't have material to be moving, sticking and moving. Yeah. I got these 5 minutes that I've been working on my whole life. The comics, and this is what comics do. We don't laugh. We go, ha! That's all we do.
Yeah.
They're cutting me off. I'm trying to get a punch out there. Ha! I'm freaking out, right? So in the middle of it, I'm 20 years old. I got a beer in this hand. And I said, hey, all you comics in the back. I go, keep heckling. I'm only 20 years old. I said, why don't I call the cops and shut this motherfucker down? When I say the lights went off, the mic went off, it's like somebody grabbed me from the back of my shirt and they rolled me to the front of the comedy store, threw me out. And I did like a front roll and I stand up and I start dusting myself. And the one guy was like, don't ever come back. And I was like, well, can't come back here, but I can talk shit.
Right.
So it took a little while for me to get the nerve to go back up because it did kind of scar me. But then that was my first time on stage.
Right. Did you always, were you a class clown? Were you disruptive? Did you always know you wanted to be a comic?
Yeah. I was class clown, most obnoxious, prom king, most popular too. But you know, my school, I don't have that story where nobody believed in me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believed in me in the trailer where I live.
Right.
My school was where I got to be me because I couldn't be me at home.
Right.
So that's why I give back to my school so much. My high school, Talawanda High School in Oxford, mm-hmm. Ohio. I was like, because the people I went to school with, man, they always said you funny. They always said I could make it, even though mm-hmm. I don't know if they believed it or not. But it was just like, the teachers liked me so much, but they couldn't ever stay mad at me. Because even though I'd be talking during class and just being a smart aleck sometimes, I guess I was endearing, you know, like I am to black women, unlike yourself.
You got in the, what's your craziest stories?
Road or growing up?
Road.
Oh, man.
Anybody rough the stage?
Yeah, Louisville one time. There was the night before Thanksgiving, a guy named Spike Davis had a one-nighter in Louisville. And I was living in Cincinnati, and I drove down Louisville to the show, but it was one of them shows where the comedy club and the club's in the same room.
Okay.
So the show's supposed to start at 7. It don't start till 8. I'm last, so now I'm not going up till 10:30, 11. So now people are coming in to go to the club.
Mm-hmm.
And I started bagging on this dude. Me and him were back and forth. And it's actually the crowd's into it because it was hard because I was fighting the bar.
Right.
And I said something again. Why don't you come on stage? I don't know why I kept saying that early in my career. And I looked up. I looked over. I don't know where these two dudes came from. They had gold fronts. They was sagging. They looked like they ain't have nothing to lose. They was on the stage. I broke the long jump record that night. I jumped so far off that stage, I went, oh! I jumped into the DJ booth. Like, there was people. I jumped over them, landed in the DJ booth. I still got the mic, so now I'm still talking shit from the DJ booth. They usher these two dudes out, and this one I know this might be a problem. They usher these two dudes out, the show's over, they give me my money, they usher me out the back door, and this guy's now taking me to a hotel. He's got his gun right next to the seat, and I'm going, what do you got? He goes, there's some drug boys, man. He goes, so we're just going to just go back to your hotel. Don't come out. I said, hotel? I said, nah, I'm about to get my stuff and drive back to Cincinnati tonight. I ain't staying all night here. So I drove back and I was like, yo, that was wild.
You ever been booed?
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps,
in the Angie app or clicks on the site. You can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today. Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees, a much bigger range than most grills. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking create searing, crisping, and browning. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everyone, then clean up quick with the pull and clean grease and ash management system at the front of the grill. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Booed once at L.A., a place called The Rage. It was a gay bar. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was gay because I'm trying to get up in L.A., so mm-hmm. I'm just calling places. And because I'm living in San Diego, now I'm comfortable enough. I feel like I could, in 5-10 minutes, I can do mm-hmm. L.A., place called The Rage on Santa Monica. They said, yeah, we have a variety show on Tuesdays. So you sign up at 4 o'clock. You got to show your face. Mm-hmm. Come back at 9. We tell you if you made the show. And then the show starts at 10. I came, I signed up, put comedian. I'm looking, it's all like singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah. Damn. So I come back at 9. They say, yeah, you on the show. You last. I was like, okay. So I get there and then the dudes just start showing up. I was like, there's a lot of dudes here. I'm young, I'm like 21, 22. I'm like, a lot of dudes here. And I was like, man, is this a gay bar? And like, oh shit, because I'm by myself,
right?
Mind.
Yes.
So I'm backstage and everybody doing like, they're singing, they're dancing, all right. This shit. I go, man, are they gonna have a comedian or what? Shannon, I came out there. They go, we got a comedian. And I was like, the crowd, it was silent. I walked out there, I go, what's up, LA? It was like, they look at me like straight white male. Why are you in our space?
Boo.
Yo. You know the Apollo, right?
Yeah.
Apollo's where you see the boo. But whenever somebody gets booed to the Apollo, you hear a boo first. You hear a boo, and then the crowd joins in. Same. I told a joke, and they looked at me, and I heard a boo. And I said, I'm about to get booed at a gay club. And I just closed my eyes. I said, I'm not even here right now. It was so brutal. It was like, but it didn't come out like the Apollo. It was like, boo, boo, you suck. I mean, we suck, but you ain't funny. A guy came out, like they were dragging him on a chariot, but it was a wagon, but they made it look like a chariot.
Yeah.
Two guys with the Ving Rhames shit from Pulp Fiction. They dragged this dude out and they gonged me. I got booed and gonged, and my dumb thinks I'm in L.A.,
right.
Like somebody, I don't know, I should probably leave. It's gay. In L.A. I'm still like trying to network.
Right.
And this one guy sees me, he goes, hey, you're funny. This is not the right crowd. And then he had a card. He put a card in my pocket. He goes, but if you need a massage, call me. I was like this. I'm out. That's what I said. I'm out. Never come back. That place is still open, I think.
BET Comedy View, you the host.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? And did black comedians, because that's supposed to be a safe black space.
Right.
And you ain't black.
Yeah, really?
I just noticed that.
Wow. Look at you not defending black women, but you notice a white man. Yeah, that was interesting because how it all happened, it was interesting. I'm in the Navy, I'm still active duty, but I won the funniest black comedian San Diego contest.
Right.
There was a radio station called Z90, and they said, we're looking for the funniest black comedian in San Diego. So I call. I pulled over for cell phones. I called. I wrote the number down. Then when I got home, I called. And I didn't say it was black, but I didn't say it was white. I did put some bass in my voice. I was like, hey, you got the contest? Yeah, went into that. Yeah, right? So I get there. I'm white. I win the contest. And keep in mind, San Diego,
right.
It's not like Brooklyn or some Atlanta. Well, the competition wasn't that stiff. But first prize was an audition for Comic View. So that got me the audition, and I got on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, Comic View was a contest.
Mm-hmm.
You had to keep, I kept winning my rounds.
Right.
And then I got the hour special.
Right.
Get the hour special. And all this time, I'm still in the Navy. So I just drove up to L.A. because they filmed the whole season in a week. So I just drove to L.A. for a week and came back. So literally, I'm on TV and waving cars on the base at the same time. So every now and then, a black dude pull up and be like, was you on BT last night?
Yeah. Keep going. Have a good day, sir. Yeah.
So I ended up, I got the job. And yeah, there was obviously some backlash. A lot of comics wasn't happy. But looking back, I get it. When I'm white, it's right. A black show. There weren't that many black shows. Mm-hmm. And I was new. I didn't have the cachet. Like, I wasn't like, oh, that's Gary. He's been around for a while. I didn't know a lot of people.
Right.
So it was just like, and Samor said it best. Like, Samor was a host a couple years before I was.
Yes.
I was talking to her at that time, and I remember she goes, Gary, it don't matter who gets the job. They going to get hate. She goes, I was the first woman. So they was, a lot of the male comics was like, you know, now they give it to a woman. Right. She goes, you being white makes it super easy to hate.
Yeah.
So she goes, it don't matter who they, and it's true. Whoever becomes a host, again, in the green room, we talk about this as comics. We're like, we always be like, we all have our choice who they think should have got it.
Right.
So it don't matter who the host is. I was just easy because I was white.
Specials. How difficult is it to get a special?
You mean like
Netflix or
HBO? I haven't got a Netflix one yet. I think it's because I'm white. They're not giving white guys specials on Netflix. No, I don't know why. I think you beat yourself up. Like I saw Godfrey on here and he was talking about that too. And I was like, when I saw Godfrey, I go, yeah, I think every comic thinks they deserve that Netflix special. And I'm no different. You know, I've been in the trenches. I've done my work, but I think I had a conversation with Bill Burr at the Burbank Airport years ago. And he just goes, you know what? I'm going to be so funny. They can't deny me. And I went, so all I can control is to be funny. It's out of my hands if a network wants to do a special with me or not.
Right.
But, I mean, hopefully, yeah, that's the goal, to get one day on Netflix. Right. But if it never happens, I got a great life. Right. I sell a lot of tickets. Yeah. I'm good. But I do want it.
Right.
Don't get twisted.
No, don't get twisted.
And I put a lot of work into my specials. I don't just put them out there like, oh, I got a special. Let me just throw it out there. I put a lot of, like, thought into it, like, okay, I really want to be saying something. Especially, I got two in the can right now. We're shopping.
Right.
Man, that one, the first one is very, well, you're not going to like it. Hate my dad, avoiding the process server type. But the second one we got out there too, like, is very military. I purposely did no racial jokes because people, I hear that sometimes, like, he just black, white shit. I heard people leave when we got the divorce. He ain't gonna have no act. Now he's divorced. I said, oh, you have no idea.
What about cancel culture? Are they words? Is there something that, because, and you know, we talk about like what they could say back in the 80s and the 70s, even on sitcoms. I mean, the Jeffersons and Archie Bunker, All in the Family.
Yeah.
Man, you can't talk like that now.
Nah.
How do you navigate that, Gary?
Well, obviously, I can't say the N-word. that's what you're getting at. I go, but yeah, I can't say that. But I think live comedy shows, you're fine. And that's why we don't want your cell phones out.
Right.
Because I think people go to shows with a level of expectation. And if you don't meet that expectation, they're disappointed.
Right.
But some people want to hear the uncomfortable
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And I'm like that. I think, you know, but that's the thing. Like, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? For me to stand on my 2 feet and say, I'm going to do this joke. I don't care. I say what I want. Is it worth it if you get the backlash? Because eventually it's going to come. And have you created a strong enough fan base that cancel culture can't mess with you? Because there are people like Chappelle. He can't be canceled.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais. He cannot be canceled. Andrew Schultz cannot be canceled. I would think Shane Gillis right now. He can't can't be canceled. Kevin can. Kevin's very corporate.
Right.
Kevin has to be careful what he says. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Like someone like Ken Chappelle, they don't have these corporate deals. Mm-hmm. Kevin's got to be careful. And I'm sure there's some things he wants to say.
Right.
But he ain't trying to mess up that check.
I don't just
like you. You don't defend black women. You know what I mean? There's a lot. I'm sure like Wrangler's about to call you. John Deere.
I got to take it. I need some water on this one, man. Yeah. There you go. See, I should have never opened that can of worms. Because I know
you
that.
Don't, Shannon.
I think you ought to go on her show next week.
Let me ask you who show?
I ain't tell you. How has comedy changed from when you first got in to what we see right now?
We were at the mercy. We needed somebody to put us on. So now, like I said, you can control your own shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got a guy that goes and rolls me right now called the mailman. Mm-hmm. He's a TikTok guy. Mm-hmm. And he didn't start as a stand-up, he started as a social media guy.
Right.
But he wants to be a stand-up. So I tell you, he's from Cincinnati. You know, I like the hometown is like right. always good. So I bring him on the road now so he can work his act out. But there's no gatekeepers with him, so to speak. So he could have never did something like that years ago.
Right.
And now, like, you don't need somebody's permission to put a joke out. Man, I thought about that too. I was like, man, we all knew those funny guys that never popped. Mm-hmm. 'Cause for whatever reason, the powers that be didn't put them on.
Right.
But, and, you know, so now you don't need it. You can't blame nobody else. If you don't have a Netflix special, if you don't, quote unquote, get your turn, why hasn't Hollywood ever taken a chance on me? Take a chance on yourself.
You look at the comedians. So where are you with these comedians now? There are a lot of comedians on social media. They do their thing on IG and things like that. And I was reading somebody I forget who it was, that says, yeah, doing a skit for like 5 minutes is entirely different than writing an entire set for 30, 45, an hour.
Right. Yeah. Facts. It's a different muscle. It's a different muscle. Like, it's like, yeah.
To hit that, as Cass said, to do it over and over and over and over and over.
I don't look at it like an art because to me it comes so easy. So when people are like, how you do that? I go, how you not do it?
Right.
When people say I'm scared of public speaking, I go, for what? That's a captive audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a different muscle. I'm not never going to knock somebody for like building a fan base and making money on the road because I've learned there's enough for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather be cool with people and hopefully they bring me into a sketch mm-hmm. or they have a show and they think of me. You right. know what I mean? You had Desi Banks on.
Yes.
We're doing real estate together.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Can you imagine if I went like, that hack, he ain't funny.
Right.
Do this. Hey, now we got this other guy. We got this guy, Gene Johnson. He's a builder in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a house. I wanted to flip it. I got a hold of him. He tell me, I called Desi.
Right.
I said, I got this flip house, man. I saw you've been flipping houses. I was like, who's your guy? He gave me this guy, Gene Johnson, his name. I called him. He goes, yeah, I'll help you flip it. And then now he brings us in. He goes, what, you guys ever thought about doing something together? Like two comedians doing flip houses or Airbnbs.
Right.
And we're going to film it. We don't know if anything comes of it. But you imagine if I just went off on Desi?
Right.
He defends black women.
Jeez.
He does.
Me too.
Yeah.
Hold up. Is this true? You were at a strip joint. And
Jesus,
you got in trouble for not tipping.
Yeah. How you be getting this information?
People.
That was... The streets talking.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how you going to go to the club and look at cheeks and not pay?
I didn't know. I was 18. I'm living in D.C.
Yeah.
It was middle of the day. Somebody said, you know, you can see titties. We got a spot. You can see titties. I said, real titties. You know? I'm sheltered, man. I didn't hear puberty till late.
Right.
I went to school with mostly white women. So I was a virgin until I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to D.C., Chocolate City. I said, where you see titties? So they was like, yo, girl. I took another guy's ID, another military guy's ID, and there was this one strip club in D.C., like, if you were military, they didn't really look.
Right.
They let you slide. So I got another guy's ID, they let me in. I sit down, I'm like the only dude in there, right? The waitress keeps coming over.
Definitely
like,
the only white dude.
Yeah. There was like nobody in this club. There was like 11 a.m. I got there early. So there's like one stripper and one waitress, and the stripper's really trying to dance for me hard because nobody else is there. And I'm literally like this. I'm right next to the stage, right? The waitress comes in. You want something to drink? I'm good. was like, no, I'm good. One, I'm scared you guys for my ID again.
Right.
So I was like, I'm good. So then the stripper, she's really going to town. I'm not stripping. I'm not tipping. I'm just looking. It's like an hour. I bought no drinks. I haven't tipped.
Oh, you ain't tipping and sipping. You got to get up out of there.
Literally, the waitress go like this. She goes, you want to drink? I said, no, I'm good. She goes, you just come looking free. I was like this. I'm out. I just got up and left. I was like she snapped on me, too. You just come looking free. I was like this. Actually, I did. That's really why I came.
You are you a strip club connoisseur?
No. I go, but I ain't a strip club connoisseur.
Oh. What's the best one you've been in?
Is
it Atlanta?
No. Shades. Ocho Rio, Jamaica. That was the wildest night I've ever seen in a strip club in my whole life.
Really?
I did a bit on it in one of my specials about 10 years ago.
You said Ocho Rios?
Ocho Rios.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called Shades. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It recently went viral. They have a little person that comes out, dude.
Uh-huh.
He be knocking him down. He's swinging. He's slanging like he normal. Right? Like below his knee type stuff. Literally. So I went there. I went there with my boys. Two white dudes. Three white dudes going to the strip club in Jamaica. What could go wrong? Right? And it's in the hills. Right? So what happened? So Tom Joyner used to have the Tom Joyner cruise. Yeah. I think he still does it, yeah. Right? But when you were a performer, they fly you in. You only take the cruise half the time. So if it's 7 days, you're on for 3 days.
Right.
So we were picking it up in Jamaica. So I flew in the night before.
Mm-hmm.
I got real cool with the
some locals?
Nah, the guys at the resort that worked there. Bartender, yeah, everybody, everybody knew me, right?
Yeah.
So I got my two buddies. It's two white dudes, right? When I get there, I got there like an hour after them. He's making out with some chick in the pool. I was like, dang, Brian, ain't waste no time, right?
Right.
We go to dinner. He's like, he's telling me, yeah, this girl, man, I got to meet her at the club on the resort, you know? Mm-hmm. He goes, he thinks it's going to pop off.
Right.
We eat dinner. We go to the club. She making out with a different dude on the dance floor. Now he's pissed. He goes, man, what the... I go, what? Yeah, she's a hoe. she doing what dudes do.
Right.
I was giving her all the respect in the world. And then, so now he's trying to leave.
Right.
He's like, I'm out of here. I'm going out tonight. I said, you can't leave the resort, bro. And now one of the little bartender dudes, he goes, Mr. Gary, he cannot leave the resort. It's not safe to go right. by himself. My buddy's so lit and so mad, we can't stop him. Right. So he goes, the dude's like, dude, I get off at 11. I'll take you guys out. Right. Mm-hmm. That probably wasn't the smartest move either. We get in this, he picks us up. We got to meet him at the end of the resort, which is like a mile walk, by the way, to the road. He picks us up in his little beat up vehicle. Now he got three of his buddies in the car. So right. there's literally like seven of us in this tiny car. We go up this hill. I'm like, I don't know about this. Shades is different, man. You walk up, it's like a steel door and they slide it open. And then you walk down some stairs, and this shit just opened up. You ever seen Dust Till Dawn?
Yeah.
It was like that. Mm-hmm. You walk in, I was like, whoa, it's a lot. These strippers saw these three white dudes walk in. We were fresh meat. They started attacking, right? I told my boys, I hadn't drank. I said, give me all your money. Give me all my money. I'm putting in this pocket. I go, so nobody can rip us off or steal from us, right? So we're sitting there, you know, watching lap dance stuff. All of a sudden, everything changed. Whistles blowing. This little person came out the back. I said, what's he about to do? Yo, he started laying pipe on these strippers right in front of us.
Come on, man.
Yo, it's on the internet now. It got posted like a couple years ago that look at this, like on World Star Hip Hop.
Right.
And I was like, I told everybody that shit was true. I told him it was true. Because nobody believed me. He's knocking them down one after the other. I ain't lying. One girl spun him. Ping. I was like, yo! She was. Oh, well, he's inside her. He spun.
Come on.
Strike me down right now if I'm lying. Spun him. I was like, yo, this is another level. So then my boy's like, the dude, the wild one, he's like, yo, man, give me $100. I said, for what? He goes, there was like a seedy hotel next to Shades. Mm-hmm. He goes, the girl's going to take me over there. I don't know if the girl was 70 and room was 30 or the room was 30 and the girl was 70, but it came to $100. So I said, yo, no. I said, you can't do that. Tell her to meet you at the resort. You're not going over there.
Right.
And then the local guy that would drive me around, he goes, don't let him go. They're going to shake him down. They said my Jamaican accent is terrible, by the way. Right. So he was like, they're going to shake him down. Either he's going to go over there, she's going to milk him for more money, or he's getting set up and they're going to rob him.
Right.
So I told him no. So now he's mad at me, cussed me out, calls me a block. You blocking, bro. You blocking some white. You blocking, bro. You don't defend black women.
Right.
Please, I'm just kidding. So we're waiting now. The guy that drove us here, he had to park down the hill. You got to walk up this hill to get the shades. He parks above the hill. So now we're waiting on him. And it's like a 20-minute wait, and I see this dude scope me out. I saw it. Mm. He goes, he's looking at me. He goes, hey, money man, buy me and my friend some beers. And I go, I ain't got no money. I pointed to the club. I go, all the girls took my money. He goes, nah, you the money man. Buy me and my friend some beers. It's getting scary now. Yeah. And I'm going, oh, I'm starting to sweat. Just then, the dude pulled up with his car.
Yeah.
What is it, patois? Is that Jamaican?
Patois?
They start speaking that patois shit. Lily looked at me and goes, okay, you got your N-word. I got mine. We're good. Let me go. When I say I took all of them in my pocket, we got back to the resort, I gave it to the dude, the driver.
Right.
I said, take it. I swear to God, dude start crying. He's like, you don't have to do this. I go, dude, you saved us tonight.
Right.
Take it. It might have been like $500.
Right.
I was like, dude, I don't want it. Take it. Thank you. We had a great night.
Right.
I got a story. I'm going to put it in my special. I'm about to make money off this. I'm going on Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
Talk about it. You know, the podcast for today. Defend black women. Sorry about that.
We'll get you out of here. A little bit of your upbringing. Grew up in a trailer park. Am I correct?
Yep.
How many bedrooms?
Three.
Three bedrooms, three kids and
parents. No. Seven.
Seven kids?
No. Five.
Five.
My twins was from my dad. So we had Michelle, Dallas, Kyle, Ashley, me. Five.
Five.
Yeah. Michelle was in and out. Michelle was my stepsister. Right, she was older.
And the parents? Three bedrooms.
Uh-huh. I had my own.
Because you were the oldest.
Yeah. I was way older, too. It was like a nine-year difference. And then the other three was in one.
Right.
And then my mom and stepdad was in the
back. So were your upbringing like Eminem character at 8 Mile?
Probably worse. My stepdad is literally one of the worst human beings on the planet.
But y'all did have indoor plumbing and running water and things like that.
Yeah, but
y'all
in the winter, I'd have to climb under there. They got this thing called skirting, goes around the bottom of the trailer, stops the wind and everything. You got to crawl under there and you got to duct tape the pipes.
Yeah.
And then you always got to keep the water running a little bit so it doesn't freeze. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had running water.
How does it feel? I mean, to be embraced like you are by black culture?
That's the best. I wish everybody had that feeling.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's weird at the airport because then I'll get stopped and black people start freaking out and white people are like, who's he play for?
Right.
Why don't we know him?
Right.
So.
What made you join the military?
To get out of the trailer park, get away from that dude.
Right.
My stepdad.
Why the Navy? Why not the Army or the Marines or Air Force?
A buddy of mine woke me up. It was my senior year. I didn't take the ACT, didn't take the SAT. Nobody went to college in my family. I didn't know you had to do stuff like that.
Right.
He woke me up. It was a Saturday morning. And he goes, Gary, come on. And his dad was in the car waiting up front. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him like, what? Mike goes, come on. He's in my ear. He's in my room. I don't know. I think my mom let him in.
Right.
And she was like, you got to get out of here. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you're going to be stuck here your whole life. So he took me down to the recruiting station. He had already joined the Navy.
Right.
So the Navy, Marines, and Army was all in the same building.
Yeah,
I don't know where Coast Guard and Air Force was. Yeah. So I met with all three that day, and Marine said, we're the first ones in. I'm out. I don't want to be the first ones. I'll be second or third. Yeah. I don't want to be first one in. The Army guy was lying because he knew I wrestled in high school, and he was like, yo, you're a wrestler? He goes, you join the Army, you could wrestle. I said, I'm 3-30, bro. I've won three times. I lost 30. I beat the same guy three times. Nathan Eby, Edgewood High School. Still know his name. And I said, I've been pinned 29 times. I go, there's not a high school gymnasium in Cincinnati, Ohio. You show me the ceiling, I'll tell you a freaking high school it is. I saw them all, Shannon. You know what I mean? So the Navy guy was just cool. He's like, oh, we can get you in. I was like, all right, I'll join the Navy. And my stepdad always told me, he goes, he used to call me a freeloader. I'm in high school, we used to be like, you got to stop freeloading off your mom, man. You got to get a job. Keep in mind, I don't have a car. We don't have any money. He's not working.
Right.
And he always told me, like, I got you. You have to be out of the house by the time you're 18. I said, where am I going? He goes, I don't care. You got to be gone. So him. I left when I was 17. Beat him to the punch.
Wow.
Yep, that was on purpose. I said, when can I leave? They said, when you turn 18? I was like, July 26th. They said, you can leave July 23rd. I said, do it.
Best decision of your life? How different would your Gary Owens' life have been had he not joined the military and got out of there when he did?
I'd be fat, my wife would be fat, and I'd have a fridge full of Mountain Dew and Doritos.
But it wouldn't be a sister.
Probably not. I'd be miserable. I'd be looking at all the black girls on TV like, I wonder what that's like. I definitely would have been a sister.
Thank you for stopping by, Gary. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Gary Owens, ladies and gentlemen.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss, and don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's all streaming now on Hulu.